It's time for JT the Brick.
The Raider offseason is about content that is productive.
Shotgun to O'Connell. Backpedaling. Lobbing to the end zone. Trying to get at him. Makes the grab. Touchdown, Raiders.
I thought Aiden O'Connell played pretty well last year. He's a quarterback who's serviceable.
Now pressure. Gets out of there. Crosby's got him from behind. Back at the 45-yard line.
There's no better player who plays with heart and passion and speed than Mad Max Crosby. Wait till you see him this upcoming season.
JT the Brick.
Dot to throw. Spillane on the blitz, and he wraps him up and holds him up for a sack.
I love the addition of Jack Jones. All the plays he made last year will be a great addition for this team moving forward.
Intercepted down the sideline. Intercepted Jack Jones, and he walks in. Touchdown.
And now,
Raiders!
All right, now we're good. Let's get to it.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we are ready to roll today on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. You better believe it, Bobby. I'm ready to go, and this will be a hard show as I open it up because our Vegas Golden Knights have been eliminated. I'm pissed off about it. I'm upset about it. It's going to ruin my social life for a month, and I don't like that because I like my social life. I like living my life as a sports talk radio host. I like going to games. I like having fun, and I love my hockey team, and they have been eliminated. Finito. Done. It's over. They're stopping the fight. It's over. Wow. Didn't think it would happen. It did happen, and we're going to have to live with it. How did it happen? I don't know. For a number of reasons. The team had 9 surgeries. 2 of them were internal surgeries. Excuses die. The record stands. But, you know, this is a tough team. They won the Stanley Cup. We're very fortunate to have the Stanley Cup here in Las Vegas. Think of the Toronto Maple Leafs and their drought and other teams that haven't won forever. So with all of that happening, look, I love this team. I wanted them to win. But in hockey, it's the toughest trophy to win. It's the toughest trophy to win by far. Not even close. Sorry, World Series. Sorry, NBA. Sorry, it's not even close. These guys get stitches in the middle of the game. They get hit with pucks in the face. It's a brutal sport. There's contact. There's fighting. It's the toughest trophy. We won it. We won the trophy. We have it. We're the reigning cup champs still until this Stanley Cup playoffs is over, but man, am I disappointed. As Bobby pointed out to me, because he runs the games, we lost every game by 1 goal except one, which was 2 with an open net goal at the end, which is like losing for 1. It wasn't like the Vegas Golden Knights rolled over and didn't play hard and they melted down and they lost 6-1 or that. No, none of that happened. The fact is they were injured the entire year. They tried to get healthy at the end. They played the number 1 seed and took the number 1 seed to the final period and only lost by a goal. They did pretty well. They did pretty well considering what was happening, but excuses die. The record stands if you're a hockey fan. As again, you know, I wear my emotions on my sleeves when I do radio. I'm a different guy off the air than on the air. If you know me, you know that. If you don't know me, I'm telling you the truth. I get really riled on the radio in sports, and I kind of do with sports at home, but I don't do it the rest of my life. You know, I get pumped up to be on the radio. It's part of my job description. More people should do it. Get fired up if you're on for 2 hours. I was on for 4 hours yesterday. I'm on 4 hours tonight. I'm down at the Wynn doing my SiriusXM show. When the lights turn on and the microphone goes on, I go balls out. That is my way to respect you. I go balls out and I don't slow down. That's my job. Everything else, I'm not here to get everything right. I'm not here to gamble your money away. I just come in with high energy and I try to put people on the radio. That's it. Pretty easy job if you can pull it off. But when my teams lose, I get angry, I get grouchy, I have to walk around the block, and this one bothers me. This loss bothers me because of the way that they lost with a 2-0 lead, 2-0 lead on the road. They become the only Stanley Cup team ever, reigning champion, to lose in the first round after winning the first 2 games on the road. Did you understand that? They didn't get swept. There's been teams who have done that. 4 teams were reigning Stanley Cup champs, went to the playoffs and got swept. We are the only team in the history of this sport, to have a 2-0 lead in the first round as reigning champs and lose. That sucks. That hurts. That really stings. So for this town, I don't know. We are a tiny, tiny infant baby. We're not even a toddler yet. Sports radio. Thank God we have the flagship rights in this building. Jesus on the play-by-play, right? We got a couple of shows here. Ryan the hockey guy does a great job. The rest of this town sucks when it comes to radio media with hockey. They're the worst. They're the worst. They don't do it. They don't care about it. We are primitive. We are behind. We are in the ice ages. We don't know how to cover hockey in this town. It's an embarrassment to me. Our TV guys do. Our TV guys do a great job. If you got the Golden Knights, Gary Lawless, a genius. A Picasso every night. Dan Duva. They're unbelievable. Right? Goach. All the guys who do the games. Millard. Shane Knighty. Everybody that we have on the show do a really good job. Ryan the hockey guy, he'll have good guests on. The rest of this town sucks. The rest of this town, when you go sports radio, and we have it in-house. So I'm not talking Lotus. I'm talking the rest of the city. We don't have any hockey. I don't think so. We probably got a few podcasts. I'm sorry I didn't download your Golden Knight podcast. But we don't do radio good here. Maybe we will in 20 years outside this building. So I get very agitated with that. Very agitated with that because I want the seas to rise. I want great Raiders radio, great Golden Knights radio, great UNLV radio, and we're just not there in this town when it comes to hockey media. We don't. We're not Detroit. Why? Because Detroit's had hockey forever. They had the Red Wings. They're unbelievable and iconic. Then we go to Toronto, you go to Montreal, you go to Boston, Philadelphia, New York with the Rangers. They do it a lot better. So someday when I'm long gone off the radio airwaves, maybe there's a young boy or girl who are like 6 or 7 years old, and they'll come to this town opposite our station and they go, I want to do hockey here because I think there deserves more than one channel to talk about this. Oh, I'm worked up. I'm upset. I did my classic walk around the block. Wife said, walk around the block. I walked around the block when they lost. I was really upset. I was really upset that they lost that game. So I'll get into it today. Again, what frustrates me the most is I can't do a full-service radio show on this station. When the Raiders have nothing to talk about, I'm not talking Raiders. Raiders have something to talk about today, so I'll talk Raiders. I am not pigeonholing myself into talking about the six wide receivers. I don't do it. I don't have to do it. No one asked me to do that. I wanted to talk hockey today. I got it in the monologue here. If you want to call in on it, it bothers me that we lost. But we won the cup last year. I was telling Bobby, game five, we won the cup. I was in Maui. They lost game four. If they would have won game four, I would have been on the beach in Maui. They lost that game. I wasn't rooting for them to lose, but kind of, because I came back and I went to game five. In game five of the Stanley Cup, which we won last year, I was in the Maloof Brothers suite with Owen Wilson, the actor, sipping on gin and juice, having cocktails, not even looking at the game, not even watching the game. What were you up, Bobby, like 6-1 after the first period? I wasn't even watching the game. I was getting my drink on. I was partying with Owen Wilson. I was out there, everybody hugging each other. I want that in my life. I wanted a second and third round. I wanted the Western Conference Finals. We lost it. So that's it. Sorry to my friends at Beer House. Sorry to my other friends who make money in hockey. Thank God we got PTs. They fuel the monologue. Best happy hour in town. Their proud partner, PTs, will pivot. And we'll get ready for some other big topics as we get rolling here. So that's where we're at. I wanted to get that in here. As you can tell, I'm a little bit worked up about that. Topic number two, the Raiders potentially moving training camp to another location. That is not a topic I'm going to discuss. I do everything when the Raiders make it official. That's my job. I work for the team. I'm not taking phone calls on the Raiders going to Costa Mesa or not. When it becomes official, I got strong opinions on that. Strong opinions if the Raiders go to Napa, Costa Mesa, anywhere. Until anything is official and I get the word from my bosses, you know, I got bosses. I love my bosses. You know, the way you can have a great life on radio, 27 years uninterrupted, is to have bosses and not overstep the line. In Raider history, there's been some people that overstepped the line. When it comes to that, I like to stay in my lane. So we'll talk about that topic when that topic becomes official, and we will not talk about it on this show, just like I'm not the A's flagship station, right? And the only other rule I have is just keep it respectful. Okay, so that's topic number two. We'll get to that. Raiders are signing wide receivers left and right. I'm okay with that because I'm all for having a fifth and sixth wide receiver. When we do this every year, there are people that lose their mind. They lose their mind over who's going to be the sixth wide receiver. Is it going to be Keenan Cole? Who's it going to be? Oh, my God. I don't care. I don't care. The sixth wide receiver doesn't get the ball, but every once in a while he does, because the first or second wide receiver gets injured. And then all of a sudden someone comes off the practice squad and plays wide receiver. And then they come in there and they get a big touchdown. And the next thing you know, that player is pretty important to the silver and black. I'm looking at my calendar and it is May 6th. So Michael Gallup was a pretty good signing. And now Jalen Guyton. Jalen Guyton's a big receiver. Guy's been in the league a long time. The guy can play. The obvious connections at Telesco. So you just brought in two veteran wide receivers who are pretty good. So the last I counted, who do we got? Count it with me. Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams, Trey Tucker. That's number three. Gallup, Guyton, five. We're only going to have six. Am I forgetting anybody? Oh, Brock Bowers, who I'd like to see have 100 receptions year one. Probably won't. And then we got Michael Mayer, who's a beast. So we're good on offense, everybody. We're good. We're good at wide receiver. We got Madison at running back with Zeus. We're fine there. You want to bring in a camp running back? We brought one in. We got another guy that came through the draft. We're good there. We got yourself a right guard, a beast out of Oregon. We got you a signed center. We got you Dylan Parham, most likely left guard. And we got Colton Miller. I'm looking for another, you know, we went out and drafted in the third round a right tackle who can play with Thayer Mumford. So I think we're good there. We got another linebacker in the draft out of the Ohio State. We're pretty good at linebacker. You know, if you're into the Diablo Spillane era that we're in now, we need another corner. We drafted two in the draft, and they're pretty long and good guys, and maybe one of them will end up starting there. So I'm okay with all that. But, man, Raider Nation found me at the fight. So really quick, I hope these guys call in. I go to the fight. Canelo Mungia. Oh, my God, the Mexicans, the Mexican-Americans, they were drinking their Modelo with me. They spotted me in the club, and they said, JT, can we take a photo? I said, it'd be my honor to take one with you guys. Forget about me. They're buying me Modelos, and I tuck in my credential. I'm there. Beautiful spot. I look down. There's Mark Davis ringside, bunch of people there, and I got a chance to speak to the Raider Nation, my Latino brothers who bought me a beautiful cerveza. And who's our quarterback? What do you mean, who's our quarterback? We got two. No, JT, who do you think's going to start at quarterback? I said, hold on, man. Hold on. This is my first Modelo. I'm not going down that rabbit hole yet. Turn the cameras off. I like Minshew Mania. AOC got the job and helped Antonio Pierce secure the job. We got time for this, man. I even got a guy on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, Matt Marinovich, AOC, or Minshew? How dare you ask me that on May 6th, coming off Cinco de Mayo? How dare you ask me the starting quarterback of this team? I'm not even going to hint who I'm leaning to, wink, wink. So we got time for that, man. I got to fill radio hours. Bobby's shaking his head now with the night's gone. We got to come up with content every day, man. You think I'm going to burn the boats at the shore and go Minshew over AOC? You think I'm going AOC over Minshew on May 6th? Have you lost your mind? I'm not going anywhere near that, man. We got two quarterbacks who are good. You saw that meme that everybody's tweeting out. Gardner Minshew's got better numbers in 2 years than Trevor Lawrence has in three. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Gardner Minshew has never had talent like this on an offense. Never, not even close. He's had some good teams, Jacksonville, Philly, Indy, but he didn't have Devontae Adams. He doesn't have Brock Bowers. So we're going to wait and see, man. And as everybody's wondering, where's camp going to be? Oh, my God. Where's camp going to be? Oh, my God. Where's camp going to be? Relax. As Aaron Rodgers said, relax. All good decisions that have been made are fine. All the decisions that have been made are fine. And they'll all be good there. I could do this entire show if we were not on the AM radio dial. And, Bobby, don't get me going. I'm giving too much information out here. Reel me in. I can do a whole other show if I wasn't on the AM radio dial on the Tom Brady roast last night. It was some of the greatest comedy I have ever seen. If you watch the Tom Brady roast, it was incredible. It was absolutely brilliant. I didn't think it would work that great with all the football players. Randy Moss. You know, you had Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Bill Belichick surprised everybody. The Tom Brady roast last night, because coming off that Golden Knight game, I was pretty upset. And then I turned on the Tom Brady roast, and it was just fantastic. It was some of the best 2.5-plus-hour comedy I've ever seen. It was very raw. We can't play most of it here because it's edited. We got a Robert Kraft comment here. I thought this was good by the owner of the Patriots.
And one more thing. In case Vladimir Putin you're watching, give me my ring back, will you?
Yeah, that was fun. And there was a lot more. Nikki Glaser. There were a couple of comedians. If you didn't get a chance to see it, Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick in the last month has done a lot of good things. He went on the Pat McAfee show for the draft, and then he went on the Tom Brady roast. He's the greatest coach of all time, no debate. And I thought he did a pretty good job there. So it was a lot of fun. There were a lot of celebrities that were there. Kim Kardashian got humiliated. You went up and down that dais. It was great. Kevin Hart, who was able to run that, was fantastic. The Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross, the greatest roaster of all time. That was great television last night, man. I mean, that was great television last night if you didn't get a chance to see it. So it's tough to do here on AM radio because I have a license, I guess, Bobby, in my wallet somewhere. I have an AM radio license that I have to follow here, but I don't have to follow that tonight on satellite radio. And I like to do PG radio anyway. I don't like a lot of F-bombs and all that on the show anyway or podcasts. But if you got a chance to watch that, that was pretty amazing. So we had the Kentucky Derby. I popped my head out to a local casino to watch that, and then I went to the fight, and I thought the fight was great. Canelo ended up winning. Kevin Ioli will join us tomorrow. Canelo was a masterclass. Canelo was going to win the fight, no doubt. I thought he should have knocked him out. One of the problems I have with boxing in this town is when there isn't a knockout, when there should be. Canelo should have knocked this kid out. Munguia is a very good young fighter from Tijuana, very respectful of the way he played. Very respectful of the way he played, but that was a lot of fun. Chris in West Oakland is on hold. I want to get to him first, and then I'll get back to this rant and monologue. Chris, start us off. What's happening?
Hey, JT. Hey, let me piggyback. You're right. I watched the entire Brady roast last night. That was awesome. Some of what it's the best 2.5-3 hours of comedy I've seen in a long time. I miss no holds barred comedy. Everything's so censored nowadays. And you're right, Nikki Glaser was phenomenal. When Jeff Ross came out in that OJ jersey with the flames on his back as OJ from hell, I started crying. I was laughing so hard. And I highly and you're right about Belichick. And one of the things I've read, and I've been hard on Belichick over the years, but I've also read, and you're kind of getting a glimpse, that one of the underrated things about Belichick is that people that get to know him, he does have a good sense of humor. I thought Belichick was awesome last night, as was everybody, and all the Gronk jokes. I mean, you could edit out an hour of Gronkowski jokes last night, and it would have been hilarious comedy. So, reason I'm calling, JT, I didn't get a chance to call last week. I want to hit the Raider draft in full. And you know me, I don't do draft radio. The stupidest thing I hear every year is when they want to give out the draft grades the days after. But you know what? I know you need content on the radio. People need to read papers. Podcasts need content. I get it. I refuse to give a draft grade before a guy ever even puts on a uniform in an off-season workout. That being said, the eye test tells me Bowers is a stud. I love the lineman from Oregon. I think that kid could be a 10-year starter from everything. Again, they've got to go out and do it. But what did they do? They drafted some players in positions of need, and we'll see how it plays out. That's all I'm going to say about the draft. But as I said, we'll see how it plays out because I'm going to get to the real crux of my call. I believe this draft's ultimately going to be a failure because they did not do what they needed to do. And what I said on my phone call the day before the draft, if you wanted Michael Penix, don't wait at 13. If you got to move up to 7 or 8 to do it, do it. If you think that much of him that you're willing to draft him at 13, you should have seen what it would have taken to get him at 7 or 8. I'm going to take Telesco at his word. They didn't try that hard. The kid is probably the best pure passer in the draft. And as Lewis Riddick said last week twice, if it hadn't have been for the knee surgeries in college, they wouldn't be talking about this kid in the late first round of second. He'd be in the debate with Caleb Williams for the first overall pick. The guy was the best quarterback in college combined the last two seasons, and yet people picked him apart. Listen, I was right about Garoppolo. I was right about McDaniels. I was right last year when I told everybody the Raiders would be lucky to win 7 or 8 games. I'm tired of being right about this, and I'm going to say this going forward. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I think Minshew can be okay, but if you looked at the AFC, okay doesn't get it. And I'm just going to close my call with this. Drafting a quarterback in the first round doesn't guarantee success, JT, but what separates first-rounders from fourth and fifth and sixth, it's talent. Ray Charles can see Will Levis has more talent than Aiden O'Connell, which means his ceiling is higher and his chance for success is much greater. And for people that want to discount first-round draft choices, you think it's that easy to pick up a quarterback? Since 2021, when the league expanded to 14 playoff teams, 7 a conference, there's been 21 entrants in the AFC playoffs. 20 of them have been quarterbacked by first-round draft choices. The one that wasn't, Derek Carr with the first pick in the second round. I'm not saying you can't succeed, JT, with a late-round draft choice, but the odds are telling you you've got a much better chance succeeding with a top-of-the-line talent first-round draft choice. I wish the Raiders would have moved up and gotten Penix. I'm a diehard, JT. I want nothing more than to call you on Thanksgiving, like I said a year ago about Garoppolo, and say, boy, I was wrong about these guys. I just don't think I am. I hope I am. But I think the best we can hope for out of our quarterbacks is okay. And I'm sorry, in a conference with Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Burrow, okay is not good enough at the most important position on the field. So we'll see. But anyway, hope you had a great Cinco de Mayo weekend, my friend. I did Saturday night watching the fight. Down some tequila yesterday instead of Crown Royal. I had a good one. Talk to you later, my friend.
Chris in West Oakland coming in flying. My rebuttal on that, Chris must not have heard of Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant in the 7th round on one of the best rosters overall. Look, the Raiders tried to build out their roster because they couldn't get a quarterback. They couldn't get Jaden Daniels. You don't need a newspaper to know that or listen to this show. Tom Telesco did not want to go super aggressive at number 13 and move up. I greatly disagree with Chris in West Oakland on trading up to get Penix. I had just as many people on and people in the NFL saying that you could trade back and get Penix, and I was right by telling everybody he would not be available. If Penix was there at 13, which there was probably a good chance he would be there, if Atlanta didn't take him at 13, I don't think Minnesota was going to take him. Minnesota at 10 got J.J. McCarthy, and Minnesota deserves a lot of credit because Minnesota didn't have to give up as much to get up to number 4 with Arizona because Arizona took Marvin Harrison, and that was their pick. So I would have liked to have seen Michael Penix available at 13, but Brock Bowers is a much better player historically ever than Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, and he was available. So that's what helps the Raiders out in this. It shouldn't be hard to debate that. Now, can you imagine if Brock Bowers wasn't there? Michael Penix isn't there. I said, take Fuaga. Who did I say? It was on the draft. I anchored the draft with Eric Allen. Then they said last picks. They put it up on the screen. JT's pick, Fuaga, 13. Right tackle from Oregon State. That was my pick. I never thought Bowers would be available. We didn't spend a second, not 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. We didn't spend any time at all on Brock Bowers because he didn't think he was available. So if you want to get a quarterback, I wanted Jaden Daniels. I did a month of Jaden Daniels on this show. Give me a bleeping break. I did a month of Jaden Daniels on this show, which means I wasted a month of my time and your time talking about Jaden Daniels, who I knew wasn't going to be available, but I liked him. I liked him there at number 2. Now, the one thing about Gardner Minshew, before we come back, the thing about Gardner Minshew is Gardner Minshew's really good. He's not elite. No one ever said he was elite. Elite is Patrick Mahomes. Elite is Josh Allen. Then you start getting out of elite, and then you get into very, very good or great. Say great. You want to put Joe Burrow, who's always hurt, in great? Put him in there. You want to put other quarterbacks in the great category? You know I'm a big fan of Justin Herbert. I think the guy's amazing. I think Justin Herbert is sick in a good way, great. And for whatever reason, we seem to split with him every year, which seems to be working out kind of nice because he doesn't have a good coach until Harbaugh and they haven't been able to stay healthy. Gardner Minshew can play in this league. He's won games. He's won some big games, and this is the best offense that he's ever played on if he secures the job. If he gets the job, and we're going to have a lot of time to see in camp who's going to get the job. In preseason, these guys are going to play. I'm assuming they're going to play a lot in the preseason. Don't tell me you're going to sit Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew in preseason games. We got to know who's going to end up playing here. So they weren't going to mortgage the franchise on trading up for Michael Penix. Mortgaging the franchise to go get Jaden Daniels is a great conversation. That's why we talked about it for a month, and it goes away. You know, I like to talk about relevant topics on this show. You know, you're not going to see me, hear me open up the show with the Indiana Pacers. You're not going to hear me open up the show at UNLV basketball if they're playing a game on the road at Fresno. That's not going to happen on this show. Okay, but I understand why people do it, because they're comfortable talking what they want to talk about, their comfort zone. When I talk Raiders, I try to get to the point on what they have done, what they should do going forward, and then hear what you all have to say about it. Like Chris and West Oaken just skewered the Raiders, just came after them. I mean, both guns are flaring because he thought they blew it by not getting a quarterback. So we hear that call. It's a very engaging, good phone call, and then we dissect it. We go back and look at the call saying he wanted a quarterback. He wanted to mortgage the franchise to go get it. Yeah, Chris, Penix would have been maybe three first-rounders or at least two to get Penix, who wouldn't have started here for at least a year because there's two quarterbacks here. But I like what he said. I like what he said because he wants to win, and that's what we want to do on this show. We want to talk about Super Bowls and winning. And this summer, my project, the Raiders' all-time top 10 games, winning is what I care about the most. I want you and everyone in the Raider Nation to experience the opportunity to jump in and win. And could you do that with a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew? Sure. Who's available? Who's available? Did I miss anyone? Go trade up for Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. It wasn't going to happen. That is a fiery monologue, man. Woo! Fiery monologue. Now we wonder if everybody's just afraid to call in after Chris in West Oakland. This is a problem I have on this AM station. Is anybody going to want to call in after Chris? Or I'll just talk for an hour and a half because I am paid to talk solo for 2 hours and I can do it better than anyone. Fly on in here, 702-365-9200. Bill Krakenberger later, America's favorite sports gambler.
We didn't get it done. We felt like we definitely had a team that had a chance to go on a long run. Probably would have been better off sort of putting ourselves in better position in the regular season. Never easy coming in as an 8 seed and trying to, you know, beat all the top teams at the start. We look at last year, we get that top seed and, you know, we're able to win in 5, win in 6, win some series as quick. So I'm proud of the team. We battled a ton of adversity, a lot of injuries again, unfortunately. Had a hard time staying healthy. A lot of our top guys are out. Still found a way to get in the playoffs, and really we did give ourselves a chance to win this series. So obviously we're one goal, one goal loss in game 7 against, like I said, the top team in the conference. So it's disappointing. That's really the only way to say it. It's disappointing.
Stones playing. I'm going to the Stones this Saturday night. We'll be rocking over at Allegiant Stadium as the Rolling Stones are back on tour. I'm going to see them in Vancouver too. My wife and I met as strangers walking into a Rolling Stones show, so that's kind of our thing. That's kind of our thing here, and we like to go see the Rolling Stones, even though it is not a cheap night out. It is not a cheap show, but what else are you going to do? You can't take it with you. Thanks for listening. If you want to check us out on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, we got a spirited group in there today. And yes, if you disagree with me, fantastic. If you disagree on the radio or on Twitter or on YouTube, I respect that. But we got to keep a level of decorum here when it comes to what we're going to do. And that's all I'm saying. In regards to the Golden Knights, you just heard Mark Stone. That is a fantastic speech by a captain after the loss. You know, it was a close series. They lost. They had a lot of injuries. When you have nine surgeries, where guys go under the knife and two of the injuries are internal, you got to bring that up. That isn't an excuse. You know, if the Raiders had 9 guys out all year and 2 of them had internal surgeries and they lost, you could use that. It's not an excuse. It's a fact. It's a fact. So the Golden Knights were injured. They tried to put the team back together again, and it was a little bit too late. But they've given us a lot of joy here in Vegas, and someday we're going to get an NBA team. I think here pretty shortly. And when you look at the Raiders here, Raiders made the playoffs once since they've been here in Vegas. There's been a lot of big wins, but more disappointing losses, including last year to the Minnesota Vikings, 3-0, but they came back and broke the franchise record and put up some big numbers, huge numbers against the Chargers. And last week I spent a lot of time talking about how everybody's now playing up to the Chargers. You might have saw Jim Harbaugh at the Brady Roast last night. You didn't see, I don't know if he was invited or not, but you didn't see Antonio Pierce. Tom Brady said he's trying to buy the Raiders because he already owns the Bills and the Colts. I thought that was a funny line. Brady had a lot of good funny lines over the top there, which was really cool. And Tom Brady last night, one of my buddies said, do you think that was good for Brady's brand? I said, well, you know something? I think it was. Because Netflix is the way to watch comedy, which isn't going to be edited and rated. You can go pretty far on Netflix. Brady took a lot of heat last night. I mean, some of those jokes about his ex-wives or the ex-mom of his kids, Bridget Moynihan and Giselle, were about as hardcore comedy as you can get. And there was a lot of profanity, and a lot of his teammates were ripping on him, and then Bill Belichick came out, and he was able to rip on Belichick. I thought the winner of last night, other than Brady, was Belichick. Because Belichick went in there, and Belichick got roasted too. You know, a lot of people were ripping Belichick hard before Belichick even came back. And then Belichick comes out with the Star Wars music of Darth Vader. And as the enemy, he comes out there and absolutely killed it. I thought his work was fantastic. And then finally, the only guy that failed miserably was Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck came out there and was awful. Oh, I know what I wanted to say, Bobby. Monday night, last week, I spent the night with Drew Bledsoe at the Biletnikoff event. After the event, he came and had dinner at a restaurant where Freddie and I was at. Steve Berline was there, Vance Mueller. There were a lot of people there, former players, and it was a lot of fun. And Drew Bledsoe sat down, and he must have been writing that script at some point, because a lot of those jokes are either written by the celebrities or the athletes, or they have private people writing their jokes, comedians. I thought it was unbelievable. Bledsoe got abused for being knocked into the hospital, and then Brady goes on to win all those Super Bowls, and he took it like a man. You got to have some pretty thick skin to sit on that roast. So that was a lot of fun. I thought a couple of those comedians pushed the limit as far as you could push the limit, but it was great entertainment, fantastic entertainment overall. If you got a chance to watch that, and Tom Brady, part of the Aces ownership now, and most likely, I don't know, I don't ask Mark about it when I see him about the ownership and him buying into the Raiders, which looks like that's going to happen here eventually. And as I said, whenever you can be involved with Tom Brady on a business side of football, okay, football, he's been in other businesses, TB12, the crypto stuff he was taking some heat on last night. When you can have Tom Brady in a room in any capacity to talk football, and the same for Bill Belichick, I think that's a good business model to get into. So the fight was really good with Canelo. I thought Canelo put on a show. I think there was 17,400 at T-Mobile. The place was packed. And when you get two Mexican fighters fighting on Cinco de Mayo, or before that, you know you're going to see a great fight. You know that the Mexican fighters are going to fight. They're going to get in the middle of the ring, and that's really important when you're paying. When you're paying money, you want to see a fight. And Canelo didn't put him away. And a lot of reasons why fighters don't try to put other fighters away late in fights is because they don't want to make a mistake. They'll never be a fighter like Floyd Mayweather again. Every time Floyd had a fight, he went up 6 rounds to none, and then he just jabbed his way to the finish. He would win unanimous decision, but he wouldn't get his brains hurt. He wouldn't get to the point where he put his brain and body on the line, and now Floyd is not walking around with some brain issues. Floyd wasn't hit a lot. I mean, he was hit a lot as an amateur and a great fighter and stepped in the ring all the time, but Canelo took some shots in this fight, and Canelo did not want to refuse to knock out Jaime Munguia. He refused to do it when all he had to do after knocking him down in the fourth is do it again in the fifth, and he didn't want to do that for whatever reason. The Kentucky Derby coming down to a photo finish with three horses, I also thought was just fabulous. Unbelievable to see here. And now we have the NBA playoffs. My Knicks play tonight. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. They play the Pacers. I think they're going to look pretty good there, but that's going to be a really tough series. And wow, to see what's happening with Denver, Denver down to Ant-Man in Minnesota, the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards is one hell of a player. He could be the next. People are trying to say he's the next Jordan. Let's get him to be the next Kobe before he becomes the next Jordan. It's Kobe and LeBron James before you become Michael Jordan, but he looks like the real deal. The Celtics, I don't think the Celtics are going to have a big problem with the Cavaliers. I think the Celtics will probably win that series in five games. And then out west, we still have Oklahoma City alive, Dallas. I see Jason Kidd got a contract extension today by Mark Cuban because they're concerned about him potentially leaving and going to the Lakers, as the Lakers have a head coaching opening. If you're a Laker fan, I'd like to hear from you on that at 702-365-9200. Who should be the next head coach of the Lakers? Frank Vogel, they fired Darvin Ham. LeBron should just make that decision. LeBron should just go out and hire whoever he wants. Remember, Bill Russell was a player coach. Bill Russell was a player coach for the Celtics. Pete Rose was a player manager for the Cincinnati Reds. You think I'm crazy here? LeBron James could coach that team. He's in charge of everything in that organization. The coach, the GM, the personnel. Why not just go out there and make it official and let him become the head coach? So a lot more to get to here on the show. If you want to call in on the Raiders draft, the Raiders draft should be a two-week topic. I think a big topic for today would be, what do you think is the number one hole? And that's fair enough to say. Hole is okay. It's on the verge of disrespect, but it's not disrespectful. It's getting close there. What hole is left on the Raider roster? If you say right tackle, I would agree with you, but I believe, I'm pretty confident that Thayer Mumford is a good player and can play. I really do. I think Thayer Mumford is a good player, but if you consider that something that has to be upgraded, what is the one obvious position? Because, man, Tom Telesco's been pretty busy going out there and bringing in receivers. I mean, they went out and got Brock Bowers, and he got two veteran wide receivers. So, overall, I think the Raiders on offense are almost closed. I mean, what are you going to do, invite four more wide receivers into camp? These guys that are getting signed are getting contracts here. One of them is going to make the team, if not two, and that would bring the Raiders probably out to six wide receivers before camp starts. And I mean by that, six receivers who all look like they're going to make the roster. Now, there could be an injury. There could be an undrafted player that outplays a veteran, and then you can make that decision. But as of now, this looks pretty good. Devontae Adams was with Aaron Rodgers at the Kentucky Derby. So people in New York are swirling away saying, what can we do to make that happen here with the Jets? I remind everybody seems pretty happy with Devontae, and Devontae's family seems pretty happy there. But wow, what a weekend. Pretty good weekend for Vegas when you just know that all these casinos were packed with the Kentucky Derby and the fight. And then we had the Golden Knights losing last night on a Sunday night, which was a bummer. An absolute bummer that the Vegas Golden Knights are out of this. I mean, I don't do a ton of hockey. I mention it throughout the show, but we have a lot of hockey guests on, and maybe we'll get one or two to wrap it up this week, Bobby, and move on from that. And it's going to get lean for hockey in this town until it turns around. The rumors on the Raiders moving their training camp, I'll have a lot to say on that when I get word from the Raiders on any news that's coming, and that could happen here pretty quickly. So that's where we're at. Love to hear from you at 702-365-9200. A little bit later on in the show, Bill Krakenberger will join us, America's favorite sports gambler. What I want to talk to him about is the fact that there's a lot of people giving out gambling advice on sports they don't know anything about. I checked off a couple of people who are giving out Kentucky Derby picks on their gambling Twitter, and they know nothing about the Kentucky Derby. So now we're at a point of no return, that people are on gambling radio and gambling Twitter trying to tell you and younger people what to bet on, and they're not even 40% right on football, college or pro. And they're just out there giving out picks, not telling anybody how much they gamble, not telling everybody how much they lose, not telling everybody how much they're betting on an event. So they're just acting like they're betting a lot, but they're not. There is no rules in gambling Twitter right now. It's the wild, wild west. Crack agrees with me on that, so we'll talk to him in a little bit later on. Want to thank everybody who came to Grimaldi's on Friday, the best pizza I ever had. We got a couple of other remotes that we're going to knock down, and a lot's going to depend on what's happening this summer with the Raiders and where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing, and when we're going to be on the road, which I'm excited about that. We got about 20 more minutes. We'll go a little bit less than that on our YouTube. If you can hit subscribe and like, go to YouTube, JT the Brick YT, as we're building that platform nice, which we're really excited about. It's Monday. Golden Knights have been eliminated. Raiders are coming off the draft on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
So, yeah, just kind of a, you know, wraparound full circle moment. My grandparents are from the Bay Area. They grew up huge Raiders fans. So my great grandparents and my grandparents grew up having season tickets for 20 years with the Raiders and huge Raiders fans there. And then also, you know, first ever game going to, 49ers Raiders, going to that game. First ever NFL game really kind of started the dream for me. And as I say again, kind of full circle moment. And, you know, getting to play at Allegiant Stadium, you know, it was different there. Hopefully we're going to win a lot more games there, you know, kind of scored a touchdown there. So definitely a special place for me there. And I'm so excited to play there as many Sundays as I can.
Wow. How about winning the press conference there from the Beast, who joins us and comes in? That's Jackson Powers Johnson, who played center at the elite level and will probably play guard here. Parents of Raider fans, totally sold on the Silver and Black and won the press conference. JT, back with you as we continue on. You know, I've been doing this a long, long time, especially on Raiders radio. I can see just in my chat on YouTube, everybody wants to get into this quarterback conversation. Vic in Sacramento put out there, and I think he nailed it, A lot of so-called experts underestimating our quarterback room. We're going to be okay. Playoffs, baby. I think it's a decent quarterback room. I don't think the Raiders are going to be in trouble because of the quarterback position. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Whoever they decide to go to, there'll be games where the quarterback will lose. The quarterback will lose the game. And it won't be at the level of Patrick Mahomes. We know that. But I think the quarterbacks, whoever wins the spot, Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, are not going to be a weakness of the team. They're going to come in there and do their job, and they're going to have a lot more weapons than Derek Carr ever had. Derek Carr had some good weapons. Michael Crabtree. You go through the list of receivers that Derek Carr had, Devontae. Darren Waller had one of the greatest seasons in Raider history, and so did Hunter Renfrow. When you look at Derek Carr and what happened with those guys, Derek had a couple of big years with certain receivers who played at a very high level. But adding Brock Bowers changes everything because this is a guy you can check down to. I mean, oh my God, he would have been perfect with Derek. Derek liked to check down. Not all the time. Derek took big shots. But when Derek had to check down, he didn't have the player anywhere near Brock Bowers who can be in the slot. And Hunter Renfrow was pretty good, but Hunter was tiny. And if Hunter didn't make you miss on the first move, then Hunter was going to get hit pretty hard down into the ground. Brock Bowers is going to run people over. So when you check down with Brock Bowers and he gets the ball in space, and hit, say he only has to go 4 yards. Say it's 3rd and 6, and Bowers catches a little check down, and he's got to go 4 yards for a first down. He's probably going to run past people or run around them. And worst case scenario, he's going to run through people for 4 yards. We haven't had that around here in a while. We haven't had that here. And the same with Michael Mayer. You can check down to him, and he can run people over. That will keep the team on the field for another set of downs, which was a nightmare last year. The nightmare last year was all the three and outs for the Raiders, which really killed the team on offense. Mikey in Staten, Italy, coming off giving us the Derby winner on this show. Nice job, Mikey. I appreciate that.
Hey, thank you, JT. You're right, man. The Twitter is horrible for gamblers out there that really don't know what they're doing. And you got young people all over the United States because gambling's coming to new. You know, Vegas is a mature audience, but you're going to like a Mississippi where these kids are just learning about gambling now, and that's the first thing they grew up with is social media. Crack is the best, JT, and you got him, and you know he's the gospel of it. You know that he's one of the few guys that lets you know what he's gambling and how good he does, but he also lets you know that he's spending 10 to 12 hours a day picking the picks, and that's what it takes, JT. Hey, JT, I just have a problem. You know, I come from the old theory, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Right.
Do you think that when they make the decision, and I'm not leaning any way, you're going to be out there to see him, do they stick with one, or does Oh, does the coach have enough confidence where he could sit one down who's ever has the hot hand?
That's a great question. Appreciate the call. That's a great question. Thank Mike for calling in. If you go back to last year, there were games where I believe and said on the flagship station that Jimmy Garoppolo should have been put in. Jimmy Garoppolo was injured. When he was injured, he shouldn't have played. When he got healthy at the end, I didn't agree with the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't come in at the end of the Minnesota game in the fourth quarter. I think if he did, the Raiders would have won that game. So if you looked at the loyalty to Antonio Pierce, and he talks to his entire coaching staff. Last year it was Bo Hardigree at the end, the offensive coordinator. They stuck with Aiden O'Connell. And by sticking with Aiden O'Connell, you know, they didn't go in the tank, and they ended up getting the 13th pick because they won a lot of AFC West games down the stretch, beating the Chargers, sweeping Denver, and obviously the big win at Kansas City on Christmas. And they didn't make a lot of changes there. Once Garoppolo went to the bench, he was finished with the Raiders. Done. He's a great teammate. His captain still had the C on his chest, was still in the huddle and all the meetings. I heard a lot of cool stories about Garoppolo last year. After he got benched and didn't come back, he was a great teammate, fantastic teammate, and did everything right. But look, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought, should have played down the stretch in a couple make-or-break games. You didn't have to put him in against the Giants or the Jets. Well, you didn't have to put him in and let him start. But I thought he should have played in that Minnesota game. If he would have played in that Minnesota game, I think the Raiders win and they might have made the playoffs. They didn't do it. That's why Aiden O'Connell is probably the front runner. I'm not saying that's a guarantee. I didn't hear it from anybody. But I think that Aiden O'Connell probably starts camp as the number one and will have to get beat out by Gardner Minshew if Gardner Minshew is going to be able to play. And Gardner Minshew probably feels like he has a good chance to beat out Aiden O'Connell. And we're not talking about Gardner Minshew trying to beat out Peyton Manning in his prime. We're not talking about trying to beat out a perennial starter. All he has to do is find a way to go beat out Aiden O'Connell and impress the coaches and the teammates and see if he can get it done. It's hard to do when you're in a camp battle with a when you got a football team that hasn't made the playoffs in a while or hasn't won a playoff game in a while. You don't want to have a competition at quarterback. You want a stud. And the Raiders don't have a stud right now. They don't have an elite future Hall of Famer on the roster. A lot of other teams don't. I mean, could Gardner Minshew outplay Kirk Cousins in a game? Absolutely. We're going to see it this year, possibly. Can Gardner Minshew, we're playing Jacksonville this year, can he outplay Trevor Lawrence? His stats are better than Trevor Lawrence. Could Aiden O'Connell beat Patrick Mahomes? That was mostly in the first quarter with his arm, but the defense ended up winning that game. These quarterbacks are good. They're good. And I think Gardner Minshew is very good if he has a team and he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. But I don't know how that's going to play out until we get to training camp, but we can really see it with our own eyes. 1 hour down, two to go. One more to go, excuse me. That's tonight. I got 4 hours. Brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino.